Yes. Well, do you want to, you got that date, you want to do it? You what? We could do that, I suppose. All right. Okay, well, if that'll work, we'll do it.
Unless you have someone else?
No, we don't. We don't have any, we're I took that out of the bulletin today because we didn't have a place to do it, so. Okay. All right. Okay, we will, Ferguson's had a conflict later in the day, and so that seemed like about the only day that was really gonna work was the 29th if we had a fall outing. So we'll plan a morning fall outing. We'll start at 10 o'clock. And what's that? Eleven? You want to do 11? Hey, you're the host. I mean, I don't know. Okay, well, I'll tell you what. We'll work out the exact time, but we can shift earlier. It's either that or we're not going to do it. So, and we've had people asking us about it. So we'll do a fall outing. We'll do it on the 29th, and we'll do it earlier. We'll give you the details, but you plan that. That's just a couple weeks away, all right? So I thank you for that announcement. We were talking about that later this morning. I said, I guess it's not going to work out, but we're always glad to have those kind of interruptions in our service. That's what we like. All right, so we'll plan the 29th in a couple weeks here, and... The guy that sometimes puts stuff on his smoker is back there telling me I need to turn my microphone on. So, all right. Okay, let's take your Bibles if you will, and let's turn to 2 Kings. Let's turn to 2 Kings. What do you do in times of, Ron gave us a good example, what do you do when you're surrounded and nothing else to do, you attack. You know, when we come to 2 Kings, chapters 18 and 19, we're dealing with Hezekiah. Hezekiah, king of Judah. When Hezekiah became king, and that's the way it starts out in chapter 18. It came to pass in the third year of Hosea, the son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. Hezekiah became king in Judah. You remember that the kingdom is divided. You have Israel to the north. You have Judah to the south. Things are not well in the kingdom of Judah. Hezekiah's father, King Ahaz, was really a bad king. I mean, and he, in Judah, he really contributed to the apostasy that was really rampant in the land there in Judah. His father Ahaz had defiled the temple worship. He changed the God-ordained system to be more like that of the idolaters of the land. If you were reading in 2 Kings, and really if you wanted to read through that, you go back and in 2 Kings 16, it talks about that reign of Hezekiah's father, Ahaz. Worship was the way that he wanted it rather than what God had given. It kind of reminds you of those today that want to make the worship to be seeker friendly. You do what the people want. And that is what Ahaz had done. Then you have Israel to the north, and the apostasy, the turning away from God, is in full fruition up there. God had removed his protection, and you read that in 2 Kings 17. God had removed his protection from them. Their capital, Samaria, has been overthrown by the king of Assyria. So we have the apostasy of that part of Israel, that part of the Israelites that are in the north, that is completely out from under God's protection because of their wickedness and the way they have gone. Then you have Judah that had remained somewhat faithful it has gotten worse, and under King Ahaz is really in an awful place. And here comes Hezekiah. The second verse says, 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. What good is a 25-year-old king going to do in the midst of apostasy that is all around him? It really would seem like almost a hopeless situation. But then I remind you of a passage in Ezekiel. In Ezekiel, in chapter 22 and 30, the Lord is saying this. He said, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. And then those last words are so sad. He said, but I found none. Ezekiel, there was this message that the Lord brought to Ezekiel was about the destruction that the Lord was going to bring. And he said, as I sought all over for a man that would stand in the gap, he said, so that I wouldn't destroy them, he said, I found none. In Hezekiah, I believe here, in this instance, where we are in the history of Israel and in the history of Judah, God found a man to stand. In the time of Hezekiah, there was none. But we're going to read here about Hezekiah, a young man that was willing to stand, a young man that was willing to stand in trusting the Lord. We see in the third verse, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father David did. We'll see him, in these verses, we see Hezekiah as a man of faith, doing that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David, his father, did. Now, most of you know, but just to remind you, it says that David was his father here. Up ahead, well, it talked about his father Ahaz that was king. You understand what's happening there in the Bible. When he says of his father David, he's talking about back in the line. Many times in the scripture, it will do that. When it says the father, it's not the father, but it could be the great-grandfather that he's talking about, and that's what's happening here. And he uses David, who he was in his line, David his father, David of that second king of Israel that we mentioned this morning was a man after God's own heart. He said that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father David had done. Where does that come from? Hezekiah was raised in a home where his father was putting up places of idol worship, even the taking of their children and the sacrifice of them. It was a horrible situation of which he was raised under. But Hezekiah evidently had learned of his father David and how he followed the Lord. And so he's known here because he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And then we see as he, this man of faith, we see in public religious life in the first part of verse 4, he removed the high places. He broke the images. He cut down the groves. He broke in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made, for unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it and called it Nehushtan. He was willing to go in and tear down all of the idol worship, break in pieces the idols that these people were worshiping. And he broke in pieces the brazen serpent. Wow, that was a historical piece that you wouldn't want to mess with that, would you? What was happening? What'd they say? They were burning incense to it. They were worshiping the serpent, and what he calls it here, when he calls it Nehushtan, that's a word that means it's just brass. He said, "You're worshiping a piece of brass. What's wrong with you people?" So he took that and he destroyed it because they were worshiping that was given for good is being worshiped, we see that taken and destroyed. We see him trusting in the Lord in verse 5. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. The kings of Judah. There was that dividing of the kingdom between Israel and north and Judah. And there of the kings of Judah, it says there was none like him. He trusted in the Lord. He clave to the Lord. He stuck to the Lord. Isn't that what we need to do? We need to stick to the Lord. We need to see that we don't get pulled aside, pulled away. But here's a young man. Here's a young man that stuck to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord God commanded Moses. We see him in the seventh verse. It says, rebelling against the king of Assyria. And the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth. And he rebelled against the king of Assyria and served him not. He said, I'm not going to serve you. He smote the Philistines there in verse 8. We see him there under the blessing of God as he is a man of faith. He's following the Lord. He's following the Lord. He is taking the position of helping them, making them separate from all of the idol worship of which they have brought into their worship. Then we come to some of the insurmountable obstacles that he comes up against. It says, it came to pass in the fourth year, verse 9, of King Hezekiah, which was the seventh year of Hosea, king of Elah, king of Israel, that king to the north, that Shalmaneser, the king of Assyria, came up against Samaria and besieged it. At the end of 3 years, he took it, even in the sixth year of Hezekiah, that is in the ninth year of Hosea, king of Israel, Samaria was taken. And the king of Assyria did carry away Israel unto Assyria, put them in Hala and Habor, by the river Chozen and the cities of the Medes. And it says there in verse 12, and the reason that the Lord allowed that was because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord their God, but transgressed his covenant. So here, what is happening to the north is the king of Assyria has come in, and they have, after putting siege on Samaria for 3 years, they've taken the city, they've carried away the king of Israel. So that's happening to the north, and they have been taken and they've put the Israelites there from the north in various places, taking them out of the land. Now the 13th verse. In the 13th verse, which is in the 14th year of King Hezekiah, there's been a few years after this has happened in Israel, did Sennacherib, king of Assyria, come up against all the fenced cities of Judah and took them. So they're in Judah. Their fenced cities are taken by the king of Assyria. Hezekiah seeks to appease him. At first, we see there in verses 14 through 17, where he will offer to them gold and silver, and he takes them the treasures he gives to them. He thinks that's going to appease the king, and you know that's something that just doesn't work, does it? When you give somebody something, they just want more, and that's exactly what happens there in verses in those verses, and so when we come down to the 17th verse, and the king of Assyria sent Tartan and Rabsaris and Rabshakeh from Lachish to King Hezekiah with a great host against Jerusalem. And they went up and came to Jerusalem. And when they were come in, they came and stood by the conduit of the upper pool, which is in the highway of the fuller's field. So Hezekiah tried to appease them by giving them many riches, but they come up and they're making siege against Jerusalem. And in the next verses, through this chapter, they try to seduce the people. They try to turn them against Hezekiah to say, the situation is hopeless. You might as well give up. And then look at verse 19. Rabshakeh said unto them, speak ye now to Hezekiah. Thus saith the great king of Assyria, what confidence is this wherein thou trustest? Thou sayest, but they are but vain words, I have counsel and strength for war. Now on whom did thou trust that thou rebelled against me? Now behold, thou trustest upon the staff of the bruised reed, even upon Egypt, of which if a man lean, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh king of Egypt and all that trust on him. But if ye say unto me, we trust in the Lord our God, is not that he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah hath taken away and hath said to Judah and Jerusalem, ye shall worship before this altar in Jerusalem? Now therefore I pray thee, give pledges to my lord the king of Assyria, and I will deliver thee 2,000 horses, if you be able on any part to set riders on him. You know, he's saying, I give you horses, but you don't even have enough people to put on them. He's here seeking to take the people and their trust away. Verse 25. Am I now come up without the Lord against this place to destroy it? The Lord said to me, go up against this land and destroy it. He said, you're trusting in the Lord. Hey, the Lord told me I'm supposed to come destroy you. Then 26, Eliakim there, he says, don't speak, well, he says, speak, I pray thee, to thy servants in the Syrian language, for we understand it. Talk not with us in the Jews' language in the ears of the people that are on the wall. He said, hey, let's talk about this privately. We don't want all of the people on the wall to hear what you're saying. But he said, hath my master sent me to thy master and to thee to speak these words? Hath he not sent me to the men which sit on the wall, that they may eat their own dung and drink their own with you? Then Rabshakeh stood and cried with a loud voice to the Jews' language, saying, hear the word of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus saith the king, let not Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you out of his hand. Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us. And this city shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. Hearken not to Hezekiah, for thus saith the king of Assyria, make an agreement with me by a present. Come out to me, and then eat ye every man of his own vine, every one his own fig tree. Drink ye every one of the waters of his cistern until I come and take you away into a land like your own, a land of corn and wine, a land of bread and vineyards, a land of olive oil and honey, that you may live and not die. Hearken not to the king Hezekiah when he persuadeth you, saying, the Lord will deliver us. Has any of the gods of the nations delivered at all his land out of the hand of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath and Arpad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim, Hena, and Iva? Have they delivered Samaria out of my hand? Who are they among the gods of the countries that have delivered their country out of my hand? The Lord should deliver Jerusalem out of my hand. He makes his statement. He seeks to seduce the people. He seeks to seek to get them, the people, to go against Hezekiah. He speaks against the Lord. He says, God's not going to deliver you. Look how everything has fallen before the king of Assyria. You don't even have enough if I give you horses to put people on them. You're such a small group of people. You come on out to me and I'll make sure that all of your needs are cared for. Everything that you want, you'll be able to have. And I'll take you off into a land that's like your land here, and everything is going to be so nice. You don't want to die, do you? Basically, he's saying, throw your king out. what a hard time. What a time for Hezekiah. The fenced cities there in Judah have been taken by the king of Assyria. He has seen how Samaria has fallen. He has seen how they have been carried off. They come here before Hezekiah. It said the people held their peace, verse 36, because Hezekiah had told them, don't you answer a thing to them. So here they come, the messengers, in verse 30, 37, and they come with their clothes rent. They come with sackcloth, and they bring these words of Rabshakeh to Hezekiah. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Seems hopeless. It seems hopeless. Except for one thing. What do we learn about Hezekiah? We learn that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. We learn that here was a man that in verse 5, he trusted in the Lord God of Israel like none of the other kings of Judah. Here was one that trusted in the Lord. So what's he going to do? That's when we come to chapter 19. And in chapter 19, we hear his prayer of faith. It says he rent his clothes. He covered himself with sackcloth. He went into the house of the Lord. And he sent Elkanah, which was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and the elders of the priests. He sent them to Isaiah the prophet. He sent them to Isaiah. So he went before the Lord. He sought God's prophet. He sought God through prayer. When you go down to verse 15, it said, I don't want to miss verse 14 there. Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers when these messengers had sent to him to give it over. He spread it out before the Lord. He prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwelleth between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear, open, Lord, thine eyes and see and hear the words of Sennacherib, which he hath sent him to reproach the living God. That's exactly what Sennacherib had done. He was reproaching the living God. Hezekiah, he takes it, he lays it out before the Lord. He calls out to the Lord. He is there seeking the Lord. He said, of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria, they have destroyed the nations and their lands and have cast their gods into the fire. They have no gods but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they have destroyed them. Now, therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. Oh, he sought the Lord. He came before the Lord and he laid it out there. The situation is hopeless, except for the fact that he's trusting in God. And you know, you'll come to times in your own experience when the situation is hopeless, where there is no answer, except our trust in God, because we serve the true and the living God. This was a time of a tremendous testing of the faith of Hezekiah. This was a time when though he had been prosperous in the past and that he'd been blessed, yet now everything seems to be against him. There is no hope, except there is hope in God. If God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for us, who can be against us? Is not that where we need to rest? We rest in the Lord. Look at faith's reward as we look here in this chapter, beginning in the 20th verse. Then Isaiah the son of Amoz sent to Hezekiah, saying, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, that which thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard. This is the word that the Lord hath spoken concerning him. The virgin, the daughter of Zion, hath despised thee, and laughed thee to scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem hath shaken her head at thee, whom thou hast reproached and blasphemed, against whom hast thou exalted thy voice and lifted up thine eyes on high, even against the Holy One of Israel. By thy messengers hast thou reproached the Lord, and hast said, with the multitude of my chariots, I will come up to the height of the mountains and to the sides of Lebanon, will cut down the tall cedars, and therefore the choice of the trees thereof, and I will enter into the lodging of his border, into the forest of Carmel. I've digged and drunk strange waters with the sole of my feet. I've dried up the rivers and besieged places. He says, hast thou not heard long ago how I have done it? Of the ancient times that I have formed it, now have I brought it to pass that thou shouldest be laid waste. He goes on there. But what did the Lord do? Isaiah is saying the Lord has heard. The Lord knows what has taken place. We come down to Verse 32, therefore thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield, nor cast a bank against it. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return, and shall not come unto this city, saith the Lord. I will defend this city to save it, for mine own sake, and for my servant David's sake. The Lord said, I will defend it. They'll not even be able to shoot one arrow against it. There he is with his massive army. There he is defying the living God, kind of like Goliath, defying God back in the times of David. What happened? Verse 35, the Lord brings it to a close. It came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Syrians 185,000. 185,000 that night were slain. It said when they rose up early in the morning, that's not the corpses that are rising up. That's the people that are left. When they rose up early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. 185,000 lay dead. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt at Nineveh. And it came to pass as he was worshiping in the house of his God that his sons smote him with the sword. Sennacherib is sent home. His army is destroyed with just the angel of the Lord. And then his own sons take his life. What could a 24-year-old king do in the midst of all the apostasy around him? What could the young man do? He could trust in the Lord. He could follow the Lord. He could separate himself unto God. He could destroy the idols in their worship. And in the power of God, in the midst of a completely impossible situation, see the Lord turn it around in the night. Remember the words that the Lord gave to Ezekiel in a time when he could not find a man. I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Judah was spared. They were in the midst of apostasy. They were in the midst of going away from the Lord God, but there was one man that would stand in the gap. One that would stand in the gap. One that would stand up. In Hezekiah, God found a man to stand, as in the time of Ezekiel, there was none. How about in our time? Are there those here that will trust in the Lord? No matter how bad things are around, no matter how much the society goes against our Lord, will you stand in faith before the Lord? What a blessing to read about Hezekiah in the midst of an awful time in the history of Israel and Judah. And God spared them as a nation, and God helped them when there was one that would stand in the gap and stand for the Lord. May the Lord find you. May the Lord find me in days of adversity when he's looking for one to stand in the gap, one that trusts in the Lord, one that trusts in the Lord as those that have gone before us, as he trusted the Lord, as his father David did. We have a great heritage, a heritage of men that have stood in the past for us. They've stood believing in the Lord and trusting in the Lord, and the Lord has brought great blessing to our country. May we be men, women, and children that will stand in the gap that the Lord can use, trusting in the Lord our God. Shall we pray? Thank you, Lord God, for your word. Thank you for Hezekiah that would stand in the midst of all of the evil around him, even from his evil home, his evil relatives, those around him and all that was going on. And yet, Lord, he stood for thee, led your people. And what a blessing it was to see then how you won the battle for them, how you slew their enemy and did that which man could not do. Thank you, Lord, for our trust that we can have in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Take your Bible, your hymnals, and turn to number 200 and